Thus have I heard on one occasion the Blessed One was living at Sawati in Jetta's Grove, Anathan Pindika's Park. Now on that occasion the householder, Anathan Pindika, was afflicted, suffering, and gravely ill. Then he addressed a certain monk thus, "Come, good man, go to the Blessed One, pay homage in my name with your head at his feet, and say, 'Venerable Sir, the householder Anathan Pindika is afflicted, suffering, and gravely ill. He pays homage with his head at your feet.' Then go to the Venerable Sariputta, pay homage to him in my name with your head at his feet, and say, 'Venerable Sir, the householder Anathan Pindika is afflicted, suffering, and gravely ill. He pays homage with his head at the Venerable Sariputta's feet.' Then say, 'It would be good, Venerable Sir, if the Venerable Sariputta would come to the residence of the householder Anathan Pindika out of compassion.' Why?" he asked Sariputta instead of the Buddha is a question. "Yes, sir," the man replied. "He went to the Blessed One after paying homage to him, homage to the Blessed One. He sat down at one side and delivered his message. Then he went to the Venerable Sariputta after paying homage to him, to the Venerable Sariputta. He delivered the message saying, 'It would be good, Venerable Sir, if the Venerable Sariputta would come to the residence of the householder Anathan Pindika out of compassion.' The Venerable Sariputta consented in silence. Then the Venerable Sariputta dressed, taking his bowl and his outer robe, went to the residence of the householder Anathan Pindika with the Venerable Ananda as his attendant. Having gone there, he sat down on a seat made ready and said to the householder Anathan Pindika, 'I hope you are getting well, householder. I hope you are comfortable. I hope your painful feelings are subsiding and not increasing, and that their subsiding, not their increase, is apparent.' Venerable Sariputta, I am not getting well. I am not comfortable. My painful feelings are increasing, not subsiding. Their increase, not their subsiding, is apparent. Just as if a strong man were splitting my head open with a sharp sword, so two violent winds cut through my head, and I'm not getting well. Just as a strong man were tightening a tough leather strap around my head as a headband, so too there are violent pains in my head, and I'm not getting well. Just as if a skilled butcher or his apprentice were to carve up an ox belly with a sharp butcher's knife, so two violent winds are carving up my belly. I am not getting well. Just as if two strong men were seizing a weaker man by both arms and roast him over a fire of hot coals, so too there is violent burning in my body. I am not getting well. I am not comfortable. My painful feelings are increasing, not subsiding. Their increase, not their subsiding, is apparent. By that you get the idea he didn't feel so good. Then, householder, one should train thus. I will not cling to the I, and my consciousness will not be dependent on the I. Thus you should train. You should train thus. I will not cling to the ear, or the nose, or the tongue, or the body. I will not cling to mind, and my consciousness will not be dependent on mind. Thus you should train. Householder, you should train thus. I will not cling to forms. I will not cling to sounds. I will not cling to odors. I will not cling to flavors. Actually, I think it would be more appropriate if he said, I will not crave or cling to forms. I will not crave or cling to sounds. I will not crave or cling to odors. I will not crave or cling to flavors. I will not crave or cling to tangibles. I will not crave or cling to mind objects. And my consciousness will not be dependent on mind objects. Thus you should train. Householder, you should train thus. I will not crave or cling to eye consciousness. I will not crave or cling to ear consciousness. I will not crave or cling to nose consciousness. I will not crave or cling to tongue consciousness. I will not crave or cling to body consciousness. I will not crave or cling to mind consciousness, and my consciousness will not be dependent on mind consciousness. Thus you should train. Householder, you should train thus. I will not crave or cling to eye contact. I will not crave or cling to ear contact. I will not crave or cling to nose contact. I will not crave or cling to tongue contact. I will not crave or cling to body contact. I will not crave or cling to mind contact. And my consciousness will not be dependent on mind contact. Thus you should train. Sounds kind of like the 6R training, doesn't it? Householder, you should train thus. I will not crave or cling to feeling born of eye contact. I will not crave or cling to feeling born of ear contact. I will not crave or cling to feeling born of nose contact. I will not crave or cling to feeling born of tongue contact. I will not crave or cling to feeling born of body contact. I will not crave or cling to feeling born of mind contact. And my consciousness will not be dependent on feeling born of mind contact. Thus you should train. Householder, you should train thus. I will not crave or cling to the earth element. I will not crave or cling to the water element. I will not crave or cling to the fire element. I will not crave or cling to the air element. I will not crave to the space element. I will not crave to the conscious, I will not crave or cling to the consciousness element, and my consciousness will not be dependent on the consciousness element. Thus you should train. Householder, you should train thus. I will not crave and cling to the material form. I will not crave or cling to feeling. I will not crave or cling to perception. I will not crave or cling to formations. I will not crave or cling to consciousness. And my consciousness will not be dependent on consciousness. Think about that one for a moment. It's not dependent on it. Thus, you should train. Householder, you should train thus. I will not crave or cling to the base of infinite space. I will not crave or cling to the base of infinite consciousness. I will not crave or cling to the base of nothingness. I will not crave or cling to the base of neither perception nor non-perception. And my consciousness will not be dependent on the base of neither perception nor non-perception. Thus you should train. How many times have you heard me say your job is only to observe? Not crave or cling for something to happen. Not control. Just observe. It's there. Relax into it. Let it be. That's it. That's your job. It's pretty simple. So how do you forget it all the time? It's called craving and clinging is how you forget. Householder, you should train thus. I will not crave and cling to this world. And my consciousness will not be dependent on this world. I will not crave or cling to the world beyond. And my consciousness will not be dependent on the world beyond. Thus, you should train. Householder, you should train thus. I will not crave or cling to what is seen. I will not crave or cling to what is heard. I will not crave or cling to what is sensed. I will not crave or cling to what is cognized. I will not crave or cling to what is encountered. I will not crave or cling to what is sought after. I will not crave or cling examined by mind. And my consciousness will not be dependent on that. Thus, you should train. When this was said, the householder Anathapindika wept and shed tears. Then the Venerable Ananda asked him, "Are you foundering, householder? Are you sinking?" "I'm not foundering, Venerable Ananda, I'm not sinking. But although I have long waited upon the teacher and the monks, worthy of esteem, never before have I heard such a talk on the Dhamma. Such a talk on the Dhamma, householder, is not given to lay people clothed in white. which is kind of a, yeah, they are, but okay. Such a talk on the Dhamma is given to those who have gone forth, maybe in that way, but they've been taught that from the very start, all of this stuff. Well then, Sariputta, let such a talk on the Dhamma be given to lay people clothed in white. There are clansmen with little dust in their eyes who are wasting away through not hearing such a talk on the Dhamma. There will be those who will understand that Dhamma. Then, after giving the householder Anathan Pandika this advice, the Venerable Sariputta and the Venerable Ananda rose from their seats and departed. Soon after they left, the householder Anathan Pandika died and reappeared in the Tusita heaven. Then, when the night was well advanced, now he was a Sotapanna. Okay. Anathan Pandika, now a young god of beautiful appearance, went to the Blessed One, illuminating the whole of Jetta's grove. After paying homage to the Blessed One, he stood at one side and addressed the Blessed One in stanza. Oh, blessed is this Jetta's grove, dwelt in by the sagely Sangha, wherein resides the King of Dhamma, the font of all my happiness. By action, knowledge, and Dhamma, by virtue and noble way of life, by these are mortals purified. Not by lineage or wealth. Therefore, a wise person who sees what truly leads to his own good should investigate the Dhamma and purify himself with it. Sariputta has reached the peak in virtue, peace, and wisdom's way. Any monk who has gone beyond, at best can only equal him. That's what the young god Anathan Pandika said, and the teacher approved. Then the young god Anathan Pandika, thinking, the teacher has approved of me, paid homage to the Blessed One, keeping him on his right. He vanished at once. Then when the night had ended, the Blessed One addressed the monks thus, monks, last night, when the night was well advanced, there came to me a certain young god of beautiful appearance who illuminated the whole of Jetta's grove. After paying homage to me, he stood at one side and addressed me in stanza thus. I'm not going to read the whole thing again. This is what the young god said, and when the young god, thinking the teacher has approved of me, he paid homage to me, and keeping him on his right, he vanished at once. When this was said, the Venerable Ananda said to the Blessed One, surely, Venerable Sir, that young god must have been Anathan Pandika. For the householder Anathan Pandika had perfect confidence in the Venerable Sariputta. Good, Ananda. As far as reasoning goes, you have drawn the right conclusion. That young god was Anathan Pandika, no one else. That's what the Blessed One said. The Venerable Ananda was satisfied and delighted in the Blessed One's words. So, even though this is a short sutta, it is jam-packed with information. And there's a lot of you should train thus. I will not crave or cling to the I. And my consciousness will not be dependent on the I. Thus you should train. You should train thus. I will not cling to the ear. And my consciousness will not be dependent on the ear. I will not cling to the nose. And my consciousness will not be dependent on the nose. I will not crave or cling to the tongue. And my consciousness will not be dependent on the tongue. I will not crave or cling to the body. Big one. And my consciousness will not be dependent on the body. I will not crave or cling to mind. And my consciousness will not be dependent on mind. Thus you should train. You should train thus. I will not crave or cling to forms. And my consciousness will not be dependent on forms. I will not crave or cling to sounds. And my consciousness will not be dependent on sounds. I will not crave or cling to odors. And my consciousness will not be dependent on odors. I will not crave or cling to flavors. And my consciousness will not be dependent on flavors. I will not cling to tangibles. And my consciousness will not be dependent on tangibles. I will not crave or cling to mind objects. And my consciousness will not be dependent on mind consciousness. Now think about that for a minute. If you don't crave or cling to these things, your mind is not going to feed them. So you keep coming back to them. Remember, your job is only to observe, not to analyze. Not to figure out how it works or why it works this way. Your job is only to observe how it works. How the process works. Seeing all of these things as being impersonal. It's just a sound. It's just a sight. Doesn't matter. That's the kind of mind you need to develop. Seeing it only as part of a process, not as something to crave and cling to. Now, craving and clinging can either be a positive aspect or a negative aspect. It can be, I like it and I want it, or it can be, I don't like it and I don't want it. But it's still craving. There's still the identification with that. And that causes so much suffering. Seeing it as a process, it's not me. I didn't ask this stuff to come up. I can't control it, so where am I in this? I'm not there. This is something that you really need to deeply see. And to remember. That's part of mindfulness, isn't it? Remembering. Remembering to observe how mind's attention moves. How'd that happen? What happened? How did this I or this form come up? How did it happen? What happened first? What happened after that? What happened after that? Householder, you should train thus. I will not crave or cling to I consciousness, and my consciousness will not be dependent on I consciousness. I will not crave or cling to ear consciousness, and my consciousness will not be dependent on ear consciousness. I will not crave or cling to nose consciousness, and my consciousness will not be dependent on the nose consciousness. I will not crave or cling to tongue consciousness, and my consciousness will not be dependent on tongue consciousness. If it's dependent on tongue consciousness, what happens? You're keeping your attention on it. You're feeding it. You're feeding a hindrance. I will not crave or cling to body consciousness, and my consciousness will not be dependent on body consciousness. I will not crave or cling to mind consciousness, and my consciousness will not be dependent on mind consciousness. Thus you should train. You should train thus. I will not crave and cling to eye contact. Now this is very, very similar to the Chichaka Sutta.
Yeah, I'm thinking that.
Yeah. See how important the Chichaka Sutta is, because it is used in a lot of different suttas. Thus I will not crave or cling to eye contact, and my consciousness will not be dependent on eye contact. I will not crave or cling to ear contact, and my consciousness will not be dependent on ear contact. I will not crave or cling to nose contact, and my consciousness will not be dependent on nose contact. I will not crave or cling to tongue contact, and my consciousness will not be dependent on tongue contact. I will not crave or cling to body contact, and my consciousness will not be dependent on body contact. I will not crave or cling to mind contact, and my consciousness will not be dependent on mind contact. Thus, you should train. I'm going through this the long way so that it can sink in. Very important stuff. You should train thus. I will not crave and cling to feeling born of eye contact, and my consciousness will not be dependent on feeling born of eye contact. I will not crave or cling to feeling born of ear contact, and my consciousness will not be dependent on feeling born of ear contact. I will not crave or cling to feeling born of nose contact, and my consciousness will not be dependent on feeling born of nose contact. I will not crave or cling to feeling born of tongue contact, and my consciousness will not be dependent on feeling born of tongue contact. I will not crave or cling to feeling born of body contact, and my consciousness will not be dependent on feeling born of body contact. I will not crave or cling to feeling born of mind contact. And my consciousness will not be dependent on feeling born of mind contact. It's interesting how all of these things, if you crave and cling, then you're dependent on whatever sense door it is. But when you see it as the impersonal process that it actually is, that means relaxing and no more clinging is there. You're purifying your mind and you're seeing the impersonal nature of everything. You should train thus. I will not crave or cling to the earth element. And my consciousness will not be dependent on the earth element. I will not cling to the water element. And my consciousness will not be dependent on the water element. I will not cling to the fire element. And my consciousness will not be dependent on the fire element. I will not crave or cling to the air element. And my consciousness will not be dependent on the air element. I will not crave or cling to the space element. And my consciousness will not be dependent on the space element. I will not crave or cling to the consciousness element. And my consciousness will not be dependent on the consciousness element. Interesting. Householder, you should train thus. I will not crave and cling to material form. And my consciousness will not be dependent on material form. I will not crave or cling to feeling. And my consciousness will not be dependent on feeling. I will not crave or cling to perception. And my consciousness will not be dependent on perception. I will not crave or cling to formations. And my consciousness will not be dependent on formations. I will not crave or cling to consciousness. And my consciousness will not be dependent upon consciousness. Thus you should train. You should train thus. I will not crave or cling to the base of infinite space, and my consciousness will not be dependent on the base of infinite space. I will not crave or cling to the base of consciousness, and my consciousness will not be dependent on the base of infinite consciousness. I will not crave or cling to the base of nothingness with equanimity. And my consciousness will not be dependent on the base of nothingness. I will not crave or cling to the base of neither perception nor non-perception. It is kind of easy to get attached to that state because it can be so peaceful and calm, and there can be a very subtle liking to it. And my consciousness will not be dependent on the base of neither perception nor non-perception. Thus you should train. You should train thus. I will not crave or cling to this world. And my consciousness will not be dependent on this world. I will not crave or cling to the world beyond. and my consciousness will not be dependent on the world beyond. Thus you should train. Householder, you should train thus. I will not crave or cling to what is seen. I will not crave or cling to what is heard. I will not crave or cling to what is sensed. I will not crave or cling to what is cognized. I will not crave or cling to the encountered. I will not crave or cling to the sought after. And I will not crave or cling to the examination by mind. And my consciousness will not be dependent on that. See how free-floating the whole idea of consciousness is. It's only to observe. That's the whole point. And it's impersonal. All of this other stuff, this gobbledygook that we have in our minds, is distraction and hindrance. I do not want you to crave or cling to anything. So, this is a big lesson. It's not just a small one. I think we should probably have this printed out and put somewhere so people can see that. $1.43, in case you forgot. Okay. Dhammadina. Oh. Yeah. Yeah. So, short sutta. Okay.
The first question is why Arthapindika didn't set his attendants to invite the Buddha, Mr. Dr. Sariputta?
Well, it answers it in the back, because he had complete confidence in Sariputta. Not that he didn't have complete confidence in the Buddha, but I suspect he didn't want to trouble the Buddha. There is much together as the four foundations of mindfulness. You have to have a body, there is feeling, there is perception. These two are conjoined. And then you have formations, which is mind objects. And then you have consciousness, which is conjoined with feeling, perception, and consciousness. So when you're talking about the five aggregates, you're actually just talking about three of them. Because these others are conjoined, they have to be together. What you feel, that you perceive. What you perceive, that you cognize. Right? That's what it says in the sutta number 43. Which is 100 suttas back from this one.
After listening to the Dhamma talk from Sariputta, Anathapindika wept and said tears.
He was always so busy taking care of affairs. He didn't listen intently. And he'd probably heard that 100 times. But he didn't recognize it as such because his mind was distracted. Quite often, because he had a lot of business. He was taking care of thousands of monks. And he had to arrange and make sure everything got done so he might come in for a Dhamma talk, but he's thinking about something else. He didn't give good ear. That's why he said he'd never heard that before. But he might not have heard it exactly in this way, but because he had so many affairs he was taking care of, he didn't hear it the other ways so deeply.
So before passing away.
Now he was paying attention.
Paying attention and listening very carefully and emotionally.
Well, he was happy to be able to hear it. That happens. Sometimes people will come, and this happened in Asia, not a lot, but sometimes, they would listen to a Dhamma talk that I gave, and they would start weeping at the end of the Dhamma talk. Then they would come up and they said, "I had so much pain that I almost fainted when I came in, and now it's all gone away." And there is the joy, like Ruth Dennison, when she heard about the kind of questions I was asking people that came that had the experience of Nibbana but didn't know what it was. And they went to other teachers and they didn't know what it was. And then I would start reading in the suttas, and then I would ask them questions about keeping their precepts and that sort of thing. And she had that experience in the early 1960s and didn't find out actually what it was until 2000, probably 9. It was one of the last times I went to Joshua Tree. And she sat there and just started weeping because nobody gave her any answers that was... And afterwards, now this is a lady that's been teaching Dhamma since the 60s. And she came up and bowed. It was very touching. And a lot of joy came up in me because I was able to help. That's the beauty of the relaxed step. Because when you first start, your mind is flip-flopping all over the place. As you get to the fourth jhana, that's why the Buddha praised the fourth jhana. Because now you're starting to see the vibrations and the subtleness of mind and have equanimity to it. And as you get deeper and deeper, that vibration becomes less and less. It becomes very much more subtle. And as you keep relaxing more and relaxing more, then it's hard to tell whether there's any vibration or feeling or consciousness at all. It's hard to tell. But even as you see this start to come up in you 6R right then, you're cutting down on that vibration even more and more until finally there is no movement or vibration. And that's a cessation of perception, feeling, and consciousness. You don't know you're in it till you get out. When you get out, it's a big whoopee. It's an amazing experience. And I've had some people say, "Is that all it is? Holy cow. I wanted some fireworks. I wanted all kinds of lights going off and stuff." Well, you just gave up an ocean of suffering. I mean, that seems pretty good to me.
Deep down, I think you can practice meditation.
If he did, it was very little.
So if he... I mean, if he doesn't practice meditation...
You know the story of Anathan Pindika. He heard the word the Buddha. And he got so excited that he, at night, he ran through a graveyard. And he had a lot of resistance to going. But as soon as he saw the Buddha, he became a Sotapanna. That means in his past lifetime, he had done a lot of other kinds of work. And it's like he was just waiting around to be able to hear the word Buddha. A Buddha has appeared. Oh, really? Wow! I gotta go see this. And he had such strong faith in the Buddha himself that he went through a very scary area. And it was very hard for him to get through that area. But he wouldn't stop. And he just kept going until he met the Buddha.
So before passing away, he got here to Sotapanna.
He was a Sotapanna.
Well, that's why I think he understood all the Sariputta Dhamma.
Well, he did hear a lot of Dhamma talks. He just didn't hear them as deeply as he could have.
Because this Dhamma talk is not easy to understand. It's really deep.
Well, I bet.
I was thinking, if he doesn't attain any Sotapannas or Radhagami and so on, how could he understood that before passing away? Because this is not easy even for normal people to understand.
Right. Why did I save it till now? But that Anathan Pindika, he had a daughter that she listened very attentively to the Buddha and became a Sakyagami. And she died before he did. And on her deathbed, he kept calling her younger brother. And that was her father. He was calling younger brother. And that bothered Anathan Pindika. So he went to the Buddha after she died and said, "Why did she keep calling me younger brother?" And the Buddha said, "Because she was a Sakyagami, and you're only a Sotapanna." Oh, yeah. On the anniversary of their death, go to a monastery, offer food, tell them that that's what you're doing. You go through a little ceremony. The Burmese and the Thai are big on pouring water while they're chanting. The Burmese, they pour it on their finger while they're chanting. And then you not share the merit with that being, you give the merit to that being. And if they're in a realm where they can hear you, it really makes them happy. And whatever you donated, that manifests to them. Like there was a Burmese man, and he did this. And his father had been a reporter. So he came with pencils and papers, and he also offered robes and food. But that was the special thing that he really liked. So he offered it to the Sangha. And we got a bunch of pencils and paper after that. So that was pretty good. But every year on the anniversary of their death, it is a good thing to do that if you're around a monastery that has monks that understand what you're doing. Not all monasteries are going to be like that.
Are there other family?
Well, let's say on their birthday, you can offer food and remember the kindly things that they did, the things that you had fun with them doing, the things you appreciated them, and you had a lot of gratitude for the things that they did. Well, get somebody to give a Dhamma talk when you do that on their anniversary. But remember, children will mimic you. So if they see you being kind and gentle even in a difficult situation, that's what they'll tend towards. Not get highly emotional and want revenge and get even with that no good so-and-so. If they see you being compassionate and not excited, they will start to act that way. Okay, why don't we share some merit? May suffering ones be suffering free and the fear-struck fearless be. May the grieving shed all grief and may all beings find relief. May all beings share this merit that we've thus acquired for the acquisition of all kinds of happiness. May beings inhabiting space and earth, Devas and Nagas of mighty power, share this merit of ours. May they long protect the Buddha's dispensation. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.